Rockland County Board of Supervisors, September 17th, 2018. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda? I have meeting department heads and elected officials. Terry Judd, Will County Auditor.
Good morning. This Thursday at 5:00 is the deadline for anybody that wants to file for any city positions that are open for mayor or councilman. We've had a pretty good turnout for some of them. We're still lacking in a few locations, but other than that, and then the following day is when I'll find out who's all applied for the school positions. That's the way it stands right now.
Thank you. Brett Grimshaw, Moyne County Sheriff's Office.
Good morning. We are busy, have been busy for the last week or so. But I don't have anything for the board today.
Maybe that's good.
Yeah. We're gonna come out with a prepared statement, I think, eventually on this whole deal. The sheriff's up at winter school or jail school right now, so we'll have something coming out here probably towards the end of the week.
Good.
Don't really want to comment a whole lot on it right now, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Rodney Weister, Maintenance.
Good morning. I was at a conference most of last week, so kind of playing catch-up this week, and I have nothing new to report at this time.
Thank you, Rodney. Jarrett, Land Use.
Nothing particularly noteworthy. We've been keeping busy as usual. I think unfortunately, a common theme lately, it's been all along, we've noticed this, that there's a lot of lack of awareness about the requirement for zoning permits in the two-mile area, that people just don't, for whatever reason, don't realize that they need them, even though that's been in effect for 20 years now. So we've had several instances lately, whether that be somebody who moves out into the 2 mile from the city, doesn't realize that there's zoning in the county, or sometimes it's contractors and developers that you think would know that information, but they don't look into it.
You would think they would know.
Yeah, yeah. And then we got our Board of Adjustment meeting coming up next week, which has the distinction of having three different cases where each one of them relates to a setback non-compliance because they built without a permit. So it's dealing with retroactively the situation where this is one of the consequences you have when you don't file for a permit beforehand. You don't know what the regulations are. You might end up with a situation where it doesn't comply. So that's just an ongoing source of frustration there. Just that there's, we get people that are aware of it. We have plenty of them that go through the process as you're supposed to. But it does seem to be pretty widespread that there's a lot of lack of awareness of that. So
what's the consequences for putting it where there shouldn't?
Well, for like in the case of a variance, it's if it doesn't comply, then you go through the same process as if it were proposed new, and take it to the Board of Adjustment to approve a variance in that particular instance. Which once you've already made the investment in the building, it's kind of a done deal there. It's pretty obvious that the investment has been made to in that development. Whereas if it were proposed new, potentially you might not have a good case for it if it's not a unique situation that couldn't apply to other properties. So, and then if it is in compliance with the ordinance, but they just didn't get a permit, of course they have a double fee for the permit as a consequence of not getting it beforehand. So we've had plenty of those.
So if we'd have Brian send one with bulldozers out and just push it back.
Set precedence.
Don't you think that'd get the word out pretty fast?
Well, I wouldn't advise it, but I definitely think it'd probably get attention.
Well, he's had cases where he wanted to.
I think that's an illegal secondary roads expenditure.
It could be. Outside the box thinking, though, I applaud you.
Well, legal means doesn't work. Where's Lisa? Fix her, Lisa.
Thank you, Jared. Ken Hyman, Community Services.
Good morning.
I have an agenda item for the 2080 for the seal region. That's about all for right now.
What are you reading today?
Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
We are busy. Obviously, the last couple of weeks were eventful for law enforcement, which eventually rolls to us. The OIS, we did refer to the Attorney General's office. Just my policy is when we have an OIS here in Des Moines County, because we're such a small jurisdiction and we work with all three law enforcement agencies so closely, to avoid any appearance of impropriety or any question about impartiality, we just refer it out. So I was on the phone with Scott Brown from the Attorney General's office that day. He has assigned Andy Prosser. I think they're hoping to get a decision out fairly quickly. I do know that they make the OIS's priority one. So that has been referred. However, we still have all of the other shootings slash homicides, which are keeping us busy. We do have an ad out for a new misdemeanor attorney to hopefully alleviate some of the pressure on Chris Scarborough, who's been handling the entire misdemeanor docket since I've been here. He is looking forward to getting someone hired. We have had a few promising resumes. Like I said, last Thursday was the day they found out that they passed the bar, so they seem to start filtering in on Friday and Saturday. So hopefully we'll get someone hired in the next month or so, and then we'll see where we stand on what new staff we may need or not need at that particular time.
Thanks, Lisa. Colin Gerst, IT.
I'm just keeping busy like always. Nothing really new to report, but I got a work session here after the meeting. So.
Okay, thank you. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Hi, good morning. So the river had gotten down to like historic lows based on the last couple of years. And so I think for a whopping 6 or 7 days, we had all four of our boat docks out, and then the river turned around and come back up, and it's towing the minor stage for flooding. I think it's coming to 13.9 last I checked. So we had to pull three of the four. And so it goes, I guess. You get a 2-inch rain, the Mississippi River jumps up 4 feet. So anyway, that's the big one. We've just been kind of scrambling to try to get those out. We'll just wait and see what the river does, whether we put them back out again or not. It looks like it's just going to kind of hang out up there, that near 14-foot mark, with some rain in the forecast in the region. And north here towards the end of the week. So we get some big rains. That's like we're going to come up with AC flood stage again. So I guess we'll just wait and see. Other than that, the rest of the park's been continually busy. Big Hollow continues to stay busy. We were full again last week. We were full every weekend. We're into unprecedented territory now. We've never had consistent full weekends post Labor Day. Usually Labor Day weekend is like the end of our season. You know, you'll have a few grounds, but it's never hard to get a spot. This year, you know, Thursday afternoons we're full up there at Big Hollow. So the weather's nice. So I guess, you know, as long as the weather holds, it looks like that trend is probably going to hold too. So it's a good thing. I love seeing this many people out and enjoying our parks.
Thanks, Chris. Brian Carter, Secondary Woods.
I probably owe you an apology.
I would think so.
I was going. Probably not as comprehensive as an apology as you'll be looking for. But I was going through your accounts payable yesterday, and I see you bought some
like all those paying tickets.
Salt milk. Anyway, there's 75 or 80 tickets to Merchmore. At first, I thought maybe you were buying it in 20-pound bags.
Yeah, yeah.
But I see it was closer
to 20
tons. We're
going to hand scatter it this year.
20 tons. So, yeah,
they every single ticket, yeah, it's not the most efficient way for anybody, but that's how they handle their footwork, so that's the way it is. So, yeah, we did load up on salt, to the tune of roughly $125,000, give or take, but we're good to go for the winter. I guess I wasn't planning on being in that, but you're right, we did, and it's in there. And that's a lot of tickets. It was commented in the auditor's office also, and it was brought up out the office because our claim stack was about that thick. And half of it was Mershman's. So So yeah, we're loaded up on salt, which is a good thing. I mean, it's, I hope we got a while, longer than last year at least, before winter really gets here, but we do it every year, and it's here now. So at least we're full and ready to go. Pleasant Grove's still closed. They did pour concrete yesterday on a majority of the main line. So it was a good day, a productive day. And so sometime I'll slip you guys up there just so you can see that progress. But they'll keep working today on doing some removal and some tie-in. It's a minimum of a week and a half, I'd say, away from being open. It might be a little longer than that, just depending on weather. So, but it's come along good, and Sperry's still closed, but they're coming along well also. Another spot to slip out some time, but I'd say there's a chance we could bore the bridge deck next week sometime. So that's coming along well. The guys are working on a FEMA job on 180th Street, which is out there east of Irish Ridge. It's the main road that cuts from the highway down kind of goes down the hill into no man's land almost, I guess. But so they're working on that. That was yet another interesting one. Our record show was a wood box. We found out it was a concrete box. So they're adjusting on the fly and figuring out how they're going to fix what they need to fix. We talked about entrances a couple weeks ago. I think Tom was gone that stretch, so I think I'll put another work session on just to talk about that sometime. I do think I'm going to put a hold on taking entrance permits for a little bit until we sort out our upcoming policy. Bluntly, if we get an entrance permit right now, I'm not sure we would get it installed this year anyway. So I talked about doing that at our thing, and I think we have an idea of where we're heading. So I just, I'd mention we'll have a follow-up on that in the next week or two, maybe, depending on schedules and stuff. I guess I should mention, we've been talking about this. Tom's been asking me pretty religiously for quite a while. So we did get our core permit for the Flint Creek Bridge on Highway 99.
September 17th.
There you go. It came in at the end of last week. So, yeah. But we did have that. So we'll start working towards right away, which we have some time to do now. I mentioned way back when we had that work session, this thing, we won't bid it now until next spring sometime. And construction won't be till next fall or early winter. Obviously, when we know deadlines.
The permit doesn't expire, does it?
No. I believe those are good for a couple of years, so we're okay there. And again, the river, Chris mentioned the river. I mean, remember there's a water line there that some work's got to get done with too, which is Burlington Water Works. That's their project, but that'll give them the opportunity to go ahead and get that work going. In fact, I just talked to the director here a week ago about that. So he's talking to his consultant, making sure they're still making headway on getting that project done. I guess I'm going to give a reminder. It's getting into the season where people, especially people that aren't accustomed to being in the country, need to start watching out for equipment, farm equipment. The equipment these days doesn't fit the road real well. And I guarantee it doesn't fit the road well with another vehicle coming at it. And I meet a lot of people that I think might be new and don't realize how quickly you can lose control on gravel with the speed they drive. You can, in the state of Iowa, you're responsible to drive accordingly to the conditions. But you gotta, this time of year, you need to slow down. You know, you run into a dust cloud and find the back end of a 1,000 bushel grain cart, it's not gonna go good for you or your family or anything like that. So pay attention, it's not gonna be long. There's guys starting some beans this week even, so.
When you come to those intersections too, that corn, it's that time of year too that you can't see down.
Yeah, you can't see both ways. You know, you might need to creep out. You know, you don't have the same sight distance now as you will in about 2 months when the crops are out. So, just want to mention that's, you know, you can slow down and save yourself some pain and suffering sometimes there, because you're not going to win against farm equipment. That's not where you want to be as far as a head on or anything like that. So. Otherwise, we're moving along. We have plenty of stuff we're doing. Trying to get caught up in mowing and doing a little touch-up late. So,
thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Janelle Nellie Long, Clifton Boyne County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy, of course, collecting property taxes, and I might add, motor vehicle is equally as busy right now. And just a reminder that the first half property taxes are due by Monday, September 30th. And other than that, I just have an agenda item.
Thanks, Janelle.
You didn't pay my taxes yet, have you, Janelle?
I don't know. Did you send a check?
Some people you can smart off to it, or some of them just not gonna go well.
She's heard it all before.
Yeah.
Krista Pogemiller, Vocal Health.
Good morning. We're in the middle of flu vaccine time, so we've got different places set up that we're going out and doing immunization clinics, as well as we're adding 2 days on September 27th and September 30th from 8:30 to 4. We'll have walk-in flu clinics that are open to anyone. We take insurance, we do private pay, as well as we do VFC. So just want to encourage people to get their flu shots, and this is a way that we're hoping to get more people to come in and get those.
Should add while Chris is there that her meeting of vaping came up, and they're probably going to be looking for a work session here pretty quick. Don't know what we can do about it, but.
And I think that, you know, Dr. Jackson, the medical director for our Board of Health, mentioned, you know, with all the current problems with vaping and the new diseases that's been coming out and people that have been getting ill, she wanted to definitely revisit that. And so I know that Deb Patterson from ADD had come and did a presentation for the Board of Health as well as the Board of Supervisors, and they've asked her to come back at the Board of Health meeting on November 14th to maybe discuss what the options are.
It's getting a lot of national attention too. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know that it's what manufacturers are putting out there. It's what the people get hold of it. You know, the gun makers can't stop somebody from shooting, getting a gun. If he buys a box of shells, he can go out and shoot. But it's supposed to be shot or shoot somebody else. It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Thanks for
saying. Hopefully the state and the feds take care of that.
We say Lisa Hazel, Boyne County Recorder.
Good morning. Just keeping busy. I really don't have anything new to add this week.
Edgy Vault Safety.
Good morning. Things are going pretty well with us. West Burlington did sign on with the Joint Safety Committee, so they're part of our group now too. So I spent a lot of time yesterday out all over West Burlington looking at their confined space entries and different things that they've got, things that might be a concern or that we need to look at. So look through their policies and procedures and what they've been doing. So really nice group of guys out at the Public Works building. So I think we'll enjoy having them on board.
Thanks, Andy.
I didn't miss anybody, did I?
I don't think so, but I do have a question. I saw in the paper where West Burlington is pulling out of the ambulance service.
They're discussing it.
Where are they going?
The discussion that I had with Hans was that apparently nothing's changing. They just don't want to be responsible for paying the, they don't want, so essentially, you know how the county is the administrator for DESCOM? So
fiscal
like
agent.
All, the fiscal agent, West Burlington is the fiscal agent for CTAA. So they take in all the money.
Write the checks.
Right, they get the checks and then they write the check to Burlington. And the travel basically said that it made sense when they used to say, here you go, CTA, here's your bill, figure out how to pay for it. But now each individual entity gets a bill, so West Burlington doesn't think CTA needs to exist. And yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Correspondence. See the discussion and vote. We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $1,180,861.41.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Brian was evidently buying bridges, salt, lots of stuff.
Doing construction and laying salt in. It's not a free business. Costs money if you want to have clear pavements in the winter.
And you do a better job of negotiating.
Jeremy Scherf from the Greater Burlington Partnership for the Planning for the Future. And while I'm apologizing, I need to apologize to Jeremy. He was here to make this presentation, a work session, January, February, right in the middle of budget season. So it was a work session, so we couldn't vote on it. So when we go into budgets, we can prove that year's spending, so we prove that. But if it's a multi-year, it has to go through a board meeting. And I'm confident it's my fault. But anyway, it never made it through a board meeting, but the budget director caught it, so you're up again.
Okay.
All right. I apologize.
It's all right.
We always like to talk, Jeremy.
What's that?
We always like to talk to you.
Oh, well, good. Well, I appreciate that. Well, I did bring packets again if you want them. That just adds to the cost of the program. So
then,
no.
then I have to come back next year. But anyway, thank you. So Jeremy Hess for the Greater Burlington Partnership. I'm the Director of Economic Development and came and spoke with you guys earlier this year regarding our Partnering for the Future 3 campaign. It's a multi-year campaign where we lay out a five-year plan of work. A lot of great things have happened in years past. Appreciate the county's support, and that goes along with the City of Burlington, City of West Burlington, City of Danville, the City of Mediapolis. All of our government partners are supporting that, and so thank you for that. And I just understood there was a procedural thing here where we needed to get it approved for a multi-year thing. But just real briefly, reminder that while our organization focuses on multiple areas, we got our Convention and Visitors Bureau always trying to get folks staying in our hotels, and if our community is a place that people like to visit, maybe it's a place they'd like to live. And so a lot of good work has gone on in there. Our hotel motel tax is up this year significantly. Been a lot of events and good things, so Convention and Visitor Bureau will be just full steam ahead. Our Downtown Partners organization works downtown here. Just so pleased with the revitalization that's happened downtown. It's a buzzing place and a lot of new projects even still looking at locating in our downtown area. Economic development. So our focus traditionally in the past has always been job creation. What can we do to grow our tax base and to grow jobs in the area? And then we never take our foot off the gas on that. We can't, you know, economies are cyclical, so things can slow down, speed up. But right now the name of the game is workforce. We've got the lowest unemployment we've had in a very, very long time. Most of our employers are scrambling to fill those jobs. And so we've got a lot of work to do of getting into our schools and convincing young people that they don't need to run out and get a four-year degree in German polka history. We need folks who can run pipe and electricity and work in our facilities. So a lot of work to be done there. And of course, our chambers thriving very well. So got a great plan of work ahead for the 5 years, and appreciate your support.
So there for a while they thought when that fertilizer plant was being built that the housing and tax revenues and everything would fall off, and it didn't.
Well, there was kind of a return to normal, I guess you could say. There was a dip. A lot of our, especially in our retail and hotel and restaurants and so forth, saw a significant decrease. Not below the years prior, but that was, I mean, that was 4,000 workers that were eating and sleeping and in our. So, but you know, housing is always still a concern. Just that niche, as far as you've got a lot of homes that might be for sale. 300 and up, and then a lot of them may be in for sale in that 40 to 60, but we need some of those homes in that 100 to 150, that what we call workforce homes that a young professional can afford to live in, and so always trying to find ways that we can spur development in those areas. Yeah. So got some projects, in the pipeline that nothing for public announcement at this point, but there's a kind of a 10-step process for these large projects, and you can get in step 5 and it looks great, and it falls apart in step 6, but there's some potential projects that could not to the extent of the fertilizer facility, but significant building projects that would bring some folks from out of town, at least for a period of time.
For a long time, you guys talked about east side of the ordnance plant as a building site?
Yes, sir.
Is that still available?
Yes, absolutely. So right now, it's been a process of doing what they call the fence out project. So we have a certified 142 acres and about six buildings that are kind of basically, as you drive by Casey's in Middletown, it's right behind the National Guard Armory building there. There's a number of buildings there. Those are being fenced out. The fence is already up. Part of the hang up with getting developers and some transloading facilities, there's so much rail infrastructure in there that transloading where it comes in on rail, goes out by truck, is difficult because you gotta go through security, gotta get your truck searched, new drivers this day, that day. So the government spent a significant amount of money fencing out, and that is just waiting for a road and for some of those buildings to get emptied. And but the fence is up, and so that's the plan to have that yet this fall or winter, so that right across from Center State Trucking, I can't think of the name of the road there, someone helped me out, that's where that entrance has been cut into the ammunition plant where trucks will be able to go in and out there without security.
South Prairie Road.
Where they built that road.
I think they're actually thinking about paving it now. That's the latest, but I don't.
Might make Brian look bad.
But I don't know. I don't think he can do that. Side.
He's all right.
Well, I'm glad you're focused.
So then down on where I was talking about was on 406, on 406 and on Hospital.
Behind the hospital.
Yeah.
So that's being studied. That's called phase two. That's got engineering studies that are ongoing to see what that would probably be more of a commercial type use versus, you know, you don't want to put some industrial thing right next to the hospital or the hospice house or something like that. So, but that's all very flat, very good ground. There's infrastructure right there with the wastewater treatment, water, electric going right by there. So it's a really good potential there. That's kind of a little further down the road, what they call phase two.
We appreciate what you do.
I do. I like that the workforce development, that's a problem for every employer in the county, and to an extent, the county, Des Moines County itself. So anyway, it's an agreement. We've done this for 10 years, and this would extend it another 5 years for partnering for the future, for $10,000 a year for 5 years beginning fiscal 20. So
I move to approve.
My second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And I apologize again for making
no apology necessary.
Thank you, Jeremy.
We have the treasurer's semi-annual report for January 1st through June 30th, 2019. I guess I quickly go through here. Just I don't really go through. Is the cash on hand is $12,740.50. Checks are $83,039.71. Electronic fund transfers in transit $26,948.96. CDs and investments $17,839,690.89. Subtotal $17,962,420.06. And the bank balance of $2,976,424.13. What's that add up to?
Quite a bit.
For a total of $20,938,844.19. Does that sound about right, Janelle?
That sounds about right. I don't have my copy with me, but I trust you read it, so.
Move approved.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
We have a resolution approving the CO Region 2080 county, or amended agreement. This is, it was amended, the House File 690 changed the structure of the governing board to add three new voting members and a couple other changes, and then we added that each county's responsible for HIPAA compliance.
Kind of changed the quorum to the seven voting members instead of two-thirds.
We'll have 11 voting members now.
Yep, seven happen to be present for the meeting to have votes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
So I tried to just highlight some sections that you can't change. That's the resolution that you're signing. Anybody else want to copy the resolution?
We have a resolution for the Des Moines County Zoning Commission resignation and appointment. Excuse me just a minute, Gary, go ahead and start.
So when Zach and I were in here last week, we alluded to the fact that we had a recent resignation back in June. Larry Werner, who has actually been on the Zoning Commission for quite a while now, has served several terms going back about 15 years, so he's had a lot of experience on the commission, but looking to resign that. Notified us of his decision in June, and subsequently he offered a possible replacement. He said he had a neighbor who was possibly interested in serving on that. And we reached out to that person a couple of times. They never responded, which seemed to indicate that they were in fact not interested in that position. So we moved on to an alternate. That's the who we have on our resolution here, Russ Fry. You may know him from his work as an author and filmmaker. Pertaining to Burlington and Des Moines County history. Got a good reputation there as a history buff for the Burlington area. He lives in the 2 Mile area, and specifically in the North 2 Mile area, north of town, which it seems like in the past we've tried to keep that balanced between residents of the North area and the South area, because those are physically separate. So he would be replacing another person, Mr. Werner, who also lived in the North 2 Mile area. So he lives at 12434 Y Camp Road, which is in an agricultural zone on the north side. So we spoke with him about the responsibilities of serving on the commission, and he did express interest in that. With that, we would recommend the approval of the resignation of Larry Werner, and then the appointment of Russ Fry to fill that position, which I should note, Mr. Werner began another term early last year, early 2018, and so that term goes through January 2023. So Mr. Fry would then be serving out the remainder of that 5-year term.
Move to approve.
Second.
Jerry. Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
The only thing about the Indian heritage in this area.
Yeah.
We're really clued in on that.
You did show Mr. Warner our appreciation for the service.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's been on there for quite some time. We're a reliable member of that commission.
Thank you, Jared. We have a proclamation. The 2019 NAACP proclamation. I apologize in advance for my voice. I have not been able to shake this cold, but I will do the best I can.
Jim, I'll read it for you.
Do you want to read it?
If you don't want to.
Well, I...
My glasses are dirty, but that's okay. It says, whereas for over a century, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, which is known as the NAACP, has been built on individual and collective courage of thousands of people. People of all races, nationalities, and religious denominations who were united on one premises that all men and women are created equal. And whereas, since its inception, the NAACP has poised for a long and rewarding history. Although it is possible to chronically to challenge the legacy of the NAACP, the real story of the nation's most significant civil rights organization lies in the hearts and minds of the people who would not be silent while the rights of some American citizens were denied. And whereas the NAACP sponsors a variety of programs to make real the promise of America. Their programs are designed to ensure civil rights compliance, equitable treatment of all Americans under law, access to health care, the attainment of education excellence, and economic empowerment. And whereas Des Moines County has been blessed to have a branch of the NAACP in our community. Now therefore, be it resolved that the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors salutes the NAACP and its local branch for their work and encourage all citizens to join the fight to ensure that all men and women are created equal. Further, Des Moines County citizens are encouraged to attend a local NAACP Freedom Fund banquet at 6 p.m. on September the 28th, 2019 at the Huckleberry Hall at the Pizzazz Complex. This year's theme is Celebration of Freedom.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Did you move to approve that, Tom?
Well, I wasn't sure what it said. He read it, so I thought I'd move. It's not going to make much difference.
Okay. Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. I might add, I've attended that the last couple of years. I would encourage anybody to attend that. It's really a good thing to listen to some of the speakers they have. Mm-hmm. So.
We have reports. We have the Clerk of Courts report of fees collected for August 2019, the General Assistance Monthly Report for August 2019, and the Sheriff's Monthly Report for August 2019. These reports will be on file in the Auditor's Office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of September 10th, 2019.
Yes.
Second. Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Any other business? Future agenda items. We've got the work session for the public hearing next week, right? For the gypsum. Okay. So I have committee reports.
Well, I attended public health. I'm mighty glad that we put two extra people on there, so that thing had a quorum, barely. but a lot of interesting stuff. They're very good, dedicated bunch of people that are obviously very intelligent, and there's full of nurses, pharmacists, and doctors. So if they're thoroughly discussed, I don't think anybody can pull any wool over their eyes.
I had a, you through? Evidently.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. I had a eighth judicial meeting. We had a speaker, I can't remember what her name is, but anyway, it's when they get out of incarceration, they've got a program for abusers, and it's a 24-step program that they have to attend. Ken probably knows about this program, but...
Well, I'd like to hear about it, though.
But there's men and women both in it. You know, it's more of a, like spouses get abused and that. And it costs $500. The court ordered you to pay this $500 to go to this, ordered you in this program. Then it costs you $500. And they've got, right now there's about 35 people in the area that's in this program. If you miss four of them, you have to start over. A lot of these people are on probation, and this is part of your probation, is to get on this program. So.
New $500.
It costs you to get back in.
That's right.
Another $500. I mean, you didn't fulfill your required program, so.
How do they pay that if they don't have a job?
Well, I guess they go back to jail. I don't know, Bob. She didn't get into that. But it's, she's supposed
they
to be, they're going to email some stuff out of it. What's that?
Well, they have to find a job.
That's part of the program, too. But this is more for, abusers, you know, that,
yeah.
You
know, yeah.
And as soon as I get, they haven't got my email on it yet. As soon as I get that, I'll print it off and give you guys a copy of it. But it is a good program. And then I attended Russ meeting, and we voted to hire another gentleman on board. They're going to put, we'll be putting apps out for it, applications. We did up the contract with Eliza County. They're having to do more work for them, so it's moving along real good.
Good. Good job.
That's it.
Good. I attended the Southeast Iowa Lake Mental Health Board's, we approved the new 28E that this board just approved, and addition to approval of the monthly claims and contracts. That's all I have.
Good job to you, too.
There you go.
Yeah. It's not out of place.
I attended it by phones. So, I didn't think everyone would sit next to me. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, please stand up, give your name and address for the record. See no one rise with an aye, we are adjourned.
Aye.
We are adjourned. We have a work session with the IT director in about 5 minutes. Does that work for you, Colin?